Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would open up your bulletin, and I want to introduce you to two things. In the center section is a section on the message, how we interact with the Word of God. I hope that you use this and you make it a part of your own faith journey, your own dialogue, your own growth process. On the other side, there's a place that I want to introduce you to. It's called The Footprints, Living the Questions. During our time with the confirmation class, we were doing some teaching on the nature of the church and things like the sacraments, baptism, and communion. And I had several of the adults kind of came up and said, wow, we didn't know that that's why we did it that way. I think all of the adults should at some time go through a renewal of our confirmation story, why we do what we do, what we believe, what we believe. On that section, over the last couple of weeks, if you read that, and we put it in there because we hope that you'll read it, this is a short catechism. It describes over the next couple of weeks the basic questions: who God is, how do we know who God is, how do we know what the Trinity is, what is the nature of the Trinity. These are things that you as adults should be able to answer. You should, if somebody came up to you after a number of years within the life of the church, you should be able to say, this is what I understand the nature of the Trinity is. I hope that you'll continue to follow that, use that as an opportunity to grow and to understand our faith and our own faith journey. During the season of Lent, we have entered into a dialogue about what I've been calling confrontational discipleship. It's not the confrontational in terms of you go outside these walls and you try and confront those people that do not currently understand Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about here. So if you think that it's going to be confrontational in that respect, it is not. What I'm talking about here is really confronting those of us that are on the inside. Those of us that have already made a pledge, we've been talking about what it's like to become part of the church. And at some point in your life, you have made a commitment. Maybe you've raised your hand and you said, I am a Christian. I am a Jesus follower. But what does that mean to us? How do we live that out? Because when Jesus called his disciples, he said, leave everything and come follow me. And what we do during the season of Lent is we remember the vow that we took and said, now, how am I doing? We confront by looking at ourselves, at the story of our own lives. Are we truly what we say? And it reminded me of a story that was told some years ago about a revival that happened in a small church. And during this revival, as the evangelist got up and he said, we have to give everything that we have to God. We have to yield our entire lives to God. And a man got up in the back and he raised his hand. He said, I would like to tell my story. He said, many years ago, I was part of a revival just like this one. I was young and I was just getting started in my life and my business was just beginning to get off of the ground. And I had begun and I had made my very first dollar with my new business. And I went to the revival, and the revivalist said, give all that you have to God. And he said, and I opened up my wallet, and there was that $1. And he said, but he made that commitment. And he said, I gave it all to God. I said, God, here is that $1, and here is my entire life. Take and make of it what you will. And he said, as a result of that decision, I'm able to stand here today before you as a millionaire. My business is a success because I had laid it all before God. I had given it all to God, and I encourage you to do the same. And then he sat down. And one of those little old ladies that was sitting right next to him, that was kind of wise beyond her years, tapped him on the knee and said, that's wonderful, honey. I dare you to do it again. You see, sometimes we say we will do everything We are faithful. Are you ready to do it again? She confronted him with the reality of his own faith journey. During our time in Lent, we have to confront ourselves. What path have we chosen? Are we where we want to be? Are we willing, really, seriously, to look in a mirror and have that mirror reflect back to us? But you know, if you think about it, until you're willing to do that, no change is ever possible. So this morning, if you will allow, we're going to enter into a dialogue about confronting the masks that we sometimes wear, this outside bravado that we have it all together. See, Jesus, during the season of Lent, comes and he confronts us. In his encounter through the Gospels, he confronts people with where they are. Sometimes he does it lovingly, but he almost always does it with a sense of force and a sense of passion. He's not timid about it. He calls out what he sees. And during the season of Lent, sometimes Lent can be confrontational, but you know what? The gospel that we believe in is confrontational. We should expect it to challenge us. We should expect it to lift us up. And I'm often thinking about that movie, what I actually consider to be a very religious movie. It's a cartoon called The Lion King. Have you ever seen it? It's a story about Simba, this lion that feels that he is unworthy, and he begins to combine with Timon and Pumbaa and begins to live off of grubs and under the worms under logs, things that lions don't do. Until he has an encounter near the water and he's trying to come back and understanding, who am I? And you hear in the cloud, his father begins to speak and he says, remember who you are. You are more than you have become. And in our encounter with Jesus today, Jesus is going to look deep in your heart, in your soul, and hear those words again. Remember who you are, who you were created to be. Remember your baptism. You are more than you have become. It is a confrontation that we may not like, but it will bring healing. Will you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? It's not on the screen, so I hope that you can remember it. This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Listen to this story, which you know so well, and listen to the way that Jesus confronts him with the mask that he is wearing. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Who then? Those who heard this ask, "Who then can be saved?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning to face the reality of who we are, but also to be healed and to follow you ever closer, ever more faithfully. Help us, O God, to see as you see. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has this encounter with this young man. If you look at Mark's gospel and you combine it with Luke's, you find out that he's kind of a rich young man, a rich young ruler. And in an era where upward mobility is probably highly unlikely, most of his wealth has come from his family. And so we get the sense of his question. He comes to Jesus with the question that he says and the question that's on the inside. He comes to Jesus and he said, "What must I do that I might inherit?" What do I have to do to try to achieve and inherit eternal life? Jesus, being a good rabbi, changes it and reflects it back in another question. And he says, "Why do you call me good? For there is none good but God. What is it that you're trying to achieve?" And he puts it back. He rephrases the question and changes it the way he feeds it back to him. He said, "If you want life, if you want to live, if you want the abundant life." But that's not what he asked. Jesus is really addressing the question behind the question. He's addressing the need the young man is not articulating. If you look through this story, you find that the young man is looking at his life and he's looking at the world around him through a mask that he wears. And that mask is the mask of all of his possessions, his identity. It's what gives him his identity. A mask is anything that we use to hide what's going on in the inside. It can be our possessions, it can be our prestige, it can be a title that you wear, it can be a neighborhood in which you live in, it can be the clothes that you wear, anything that we try to hide or impress people that we are something different than we are. We're trying to hide perhaps the frightened, vulnerable child that is within all of us. But Jesus won't have any of it. He sees the young man and he goes after what's going on in his life. I think of this story and I think about how the dialogue probably went. I imagine it going something like this. The young man comes to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit life? I want to find, as a rich person, I want to find out what line I have to stand in. I want to find out what details I have to do. What is it that I haven't done that is leaving me this emptiness?" And Jesus said, "Follow the commandments. Follow the commandments." You know what they say. And in Mark's gospel, he says, "Well, which ones? All of them, or are there some that are more important than others?" And so Jesus lists them out, but he only lists certain ones. He says, "Well, if you think you've done these all, take out a notepad and let's start to take notes. You know what it says, don't murder. Done that, been there, done that. I have no problem. You're not going to find any blood on my hands or on my clothes. I'm clean." "Oh, really?" "Don't commit adultery. No problem. I'm not married. I'm single. Life is good. I don't know what the innuendo is, but it's not going to taint me. Don't steal. I'm rich. I don't need to steal from people. I've got all the money that I need." "Don't bear false witness. Check. This isn't that hard after all. Honor your father and mother." "Oh, I've done that too. I have no problems." And Jesus says, "Do all of this." And he says, "I've been doing this for years. As a matter of fact, it's trivial. I'm trying to find something that's a little harder to do. There's got to be something more than just doing this." And Jesus begins to address his issue. "Really? You've done it all. You have no problems, right? Love your neighbors yourself. That is so easy for you to do. You still lack one thing. Because this shouldn't be a problem, because you love your neighbors yourself. Sell all that you have and give it to your neighbors that you love. And follow me." And there's the mask. And I hear the young man saying, "But if I do that, who will I be? I'll be a nobody. I'll have no respect. Nobody will honor me. Where will I be in society if I don't have all of this?" And the mask comes off. And he goes away sad, unable to let go of this bravado that surrounds him. Bravado that is bold and said, "I've done all of that since I was a child, because I'm too frightened for you to see what's on the inside." Greed that says, "I need more," because it gives me identity. It tells me who I am, that I am valuable, that I am lovable. Because it creates an addiction that says, "I can't control my own circumstances." And so this story gives us a question that haunts us all. What are you hiding from? What is it that you see in yourself that you're hiding from? What is the mask that you are hiding from, that you block out relationships with others? In Luke chapter 2, as Simeon addresses Mary, he says this is going to be a prophecy of what Jesus' life will be. And he says, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The fear that's deep within that we think nobody else can see, Jesus is going to confront. How do you see yourself? What persona do you want to project? How do you encounter Jesus during this time? One of the downfalls of this story is that the mask that we wear only serves to reinforce the fears of our inadequacy. The more we wear a persona, the more we project what happens, it reinforces our inadequacy. Until we're able to come clean, until we're able to see ourselves as Jesus sees us, we wear this mask and we hide behind and we greet one another with superficial greetings, but we're never able to be honest and open and vulnerable. What Jesus is offering the young man is let that go and then know that you are valuable. You are specially created. You, not what you own, not what you have, but you as a person. You are valuable. Come and feel that full, abundant life. That fear of inadequacy tends to be so strong that he goes away sad. It tells us in the scripture he was grieving. Grieving for what might have been. And Jesus says that he goes away sad. Finally, masks don't protect. They will suffocate. They will suck the life out of you. What Jesus sees is a man that is not living the full life. It's taking his life from us, from him. I love this passage from James Baldwin. It says, love takes off the mask that we fear that we cannot live without. We fear that we can't live without it, but we know that we cannot live within it. We live within a love-hate relationship. We know what's deep within our inside, but we don't want anybody else to know. So we hide away, hoping that people don't find out the brokenness that's within. The blessing that we have when we come together as a community, we share in a covenant together called Holy Communion. And in that communion, we share in a covenant of confession. We don't have it together. We're all vulnerable and we're all broken, but God has invited us to experience the fullness of that relationship. I want to end by telling you a story, a simple story. It's called simply The Mask. A young man, a boy actually, was born to parents. His name was Joshua, and he was born to peasant farmers. And during his delivery, something happened that his mother was no longer able to have children. And so she blamed Joshua for what had happened to her. And she told him that he was worthless and that she wished he had never been born. And his father did not want this child. And he was weak and he was not able to do anything. And so Joshua grew up hating himself, hating his appearance. He lived alone and was frightened, never had any friends. And when people would come around, because he believed himself so hideous, he would hide away in the barn until they left. He grew through his teen years, having ingrained in him a sense of worthlessness. Until the king's men came to the town one day and announced that all of the teen men had to report to the castle to be greeted by the princess, who wanted to meet all of the eligible men in the kingdom. Well, Joshua was frightened, and he knew that he was a hideous beast. He ran into the woods, and late at night, he stumbled upon an old man sitting around a campfire. And the old man heard him and was startled, and he began a dialogue with Joshua. And Joshua said, I cannot go to the castle because I'm worthless, and I am ugly, and I'm an embarrassment to all. And the old man finally coaxed him into the fire and was a little shocked by his appearance, but he said, He said, I don't know that you know this, but I'm kind of a magician and an artist. And he said, and I can make for you such a mask that it will fit like a glove and it will hide your appearance and nobody will ever know. And Joshua thought it was worth the risk. And finally, the old man produced a mask and it fit beautifully. And he looked handsome. For the first time, he was able to see his reflection in a mirror, and he was handsome and he was strong and he had that confidence again. And so he went to the castle and he was introduced to the princess. And all of the other young men were trying to impress her by what they were able to do, by their strength, by what they had achieved, by the amount of money that they had. But when Joshua came, he was able to enter into a conversation about life and about hopes and dreams. And she fell in love with Joshua. And so a wedding had been set. Joshua was both elated and terrified, because he knew at some point she would find the mask. And so he began to wrestle within himself, and finally he realized, I love her too much, and he went to her and said, I've deceived you. This is not who I am. I've been hiding behind a mask. And he said, but I don't want to get married under a lie. And so he took off the mask, and she gasped. And she said, tell me, why are you wearing a mask that looks exactly like your true face? And showed a mirror, and it was. In fact, it was his true face, handsome and strong. And finally, the old man came out from the shadows, and he said, Joshua, when I met you, you had such a low opinion of yourself. Nothing that I could have said would have convinced you otherwise. It wasn't until I was able to create for you a mask, a false mask to be sure, to give you some confidence to experience love. But once you knew the power of love in your life, you felt the freedom to let go of the mask. And as a result of the love that you have now felt, you feel liberated to see yourself as you truly are, how handsome and beautiful and wonderful that you are. And the same is true for us, and for your families, and for your children, and for your grandchildren. They will continue to hide behind the mask of our culture and expectations until they know that they are loved so deeply for themselves that they no longer have to hide. Imagine for a moment that your children or your grandchildren came and said to you, if I get better grades, will you love me more? If I clean my room, will then I be worthy of your attention? You might cast that all away and say, yes, we would love you to clean your room, but I'm not going to stop loving you because of it. I want the best for you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Jesus reaches out to the young man to say, I love you not because of your wealth, but because of who you are. Take that away and see yourself as you truly are, worthy, blessed by God, and feel the freedom to love without expecting something in return. The freedom to forgive without always having been asked. The freedom to serve others out of joy and liberation. The freedom to breathe free of all of those expectations, because God had loved you, and that's the only thing that counts. As we confront our discipleship, we must confront who we are and the mask we choose to wear. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that you confront us to liberate us and to give us freedom. Help us, O God, to be strengthened by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.